Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And the first three verses. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Honor your father and your mother. Well, we're going to drop the father part for this week. Honor your mother. And so we're just going to look at that for a few minutes this morning. Let's bow together and ask God's direction. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your goodness toward us. Thank you for the many, many blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you for the moms that are here today, Lord, and the moms that raised us. And Father, the new moms that are on the way. And so, Father, we thank you for all your blessings. And Father, as we look into your word today, we just ask that you would just guide us and direct us. Receive the glory to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mother's Day is a time when we set aside to honor our mothers. And every one of us, we have different memories of growing up, our moms. So we're going to look at a couple things this morning. And I was reading some different things through the week as I was preparing for this. Sometimes on Mother's Day, children give out cards to their moms and make up little cards and little gifts and things like this. A little group made up some cards to give to their mothers, expressing what they had for them for Mother's Day and different things. A little boy named Robert said, "I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like it better than the snake I got for you last year." A little girl named Eileen says, "Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it was on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school." Another one named Diane, she said, "I hope you like the flowers I got for you on Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith wasn't looking." A little girl named Angie says, "Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S., I hope you like pizza and popcorn." And Carol said, "Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." We all have different memories of growing up with our mothers, and our mothers have trained us different things. There was another video, actually, I was trying to get as well, and it would tie in perfectly. This one here was talking about what our mothers taught us growing up. It was a good video. It was a secular one. It's not even put out by a Christian organization, but it was really good, but I just could not get it to do right on the computer for to get it. But anyway, Mother's Day is a time that changes everything. You know, when you get married, everything is all the honeymoon and everything else. But then when babyhood comes in the scene, when a baby shows up on the scene, everything changes. I was reading somewhere a while ago, they were talking about mothers, the first pregnancy. They said the mother starts wearing the new mother-to-be, starts wearing maternity clothes the minute the doctor tells her she's pregnant. They said by the time the second child comes around, well, she holds on to the regular clothes as long as she can before she starts wearing maternity clothes. And they said by the time the third and fourth children come, they can't afford to buy maternity clothes anyway, so just wear anything. So when a baby comes along, it changes everything in the family, it changes everything in the home, the routine changes. One time you could sleep all through the night, and all of a sudden it changes. Now you don't do that anymore. When we come to Mother's Day, and as the video was just showing us, there's a lot of different things that our mothers show us and put up with and develop in us as we grow up. And some of these things that the Word of God talks about. Back in Proverbs chapter 31, now we're not going to read that entire chapter. We've done it a number of years over the years on Mother's Day. Who can find the virtuous woman, or price is far above rubies? And we usually go down through that passage and read things concerning the mother or the wife, or whatever you want to say there. The Bible says a noble woman, a noble wife. Some translations says, who can find? And so sometimes we read that chapter and we think that's where that chapter starts, because we always start up with, that verse. But we got to realize that's verse 10. There's nine more verses before that we usually skip over. I haven't heard anybody else preach on it anyway. And there's not many that do preach on it. And I'm not going to take a whole lot of time at it this morning, but there's a fellow in that chapter. His name was Lemuel. He was a king. Now, nobody knows for sure who he was. And a lot of people think that it was Solomon, and just a different title that was used for him. But anyway, and some other people believe that he's a king from, was somehow related to David's family, married one of David's daughters probably. So nobody knows for sure. But anyway, this fellow named Lemuel was starting to, verses 1 to 9, he started telling us about some of the things that his mother told him about as he was growing up. And he started to, go back, and the Bible says, it starts it this way, it says that in my Bible, it says it was an utterance that his mother told him, that his mother spoke to him. The King James says it was a prophecy that his mother told him. Another translation says it was a burden that his mother shared with him. Whichever way you look at it, it basically means the same thing. There were some things that she was concerned about, her child growing up, and she thought that, if he's going to grow up to be a good boy, so to speak, she's going to have to teach him some things. And so this is what this passage was about. And we're not going to take the whole time on this passage this morning. But she was giving him advice, and he was reiterating, actually, just telling the advice that his mother gave to him, things that she thought that he would need to know to grow up. And as I said, it was her burden, her concern about how he lived his life. Now, I'm sure she told him other things about, sit up straight, like your mother would always tell you, make sure you got clean underwear on. And make sure you brush your teeth, wash your face, comb your hair before you go to school. And I'm sure she probably told him all these things as well. But these things weren't the important things that he was recalling right here. And if you read down through it, we don't have time to get into all of it. But if you read down through it, she was telling him, first of all, she said, don't hang around. This is a different translation now. She said, but don't hang around. Now, don't get mad at me, the women here. But she said, don't hang around with questionable women. And she was telling a young man, I'm sure if she had a daughter, she was saying, don't hang around with questionable young men. Okay, so whichever way it goes, it's still the same principle. Don't hang around with the wrong people. And you know it as well as I do, and the scripture tells us that evil companions corrupt good manners. And what that means, if you hang around with the wrong people, they're going to influence your life and going to turn you away from the things that are right and the things that you should be doing and get you in trouble and get you involved in things you shouldn't be involved in and different things. The King James says, don't give your strength to strange women. Some translations says, don't give your wealth to strange women or to, questionable women. And what she's trying to tell him, and she was concerned about, and this is something that we all have to realize as we're raising children, and we've gone through it, and most of you here probably have gone through it, but there's still a lot of you here who still have children. And you're concerned about who they hang around with as they're growing up, and not so much when they're little toddlers and things like this, but as they get older and they get into their teenage years, there's a whole lot of danger out there, because that's the age, and we all have gone through it. This is the age we thought we knew everything. And we thought we had all the answers. We thought our moms and dads were so far backward. They didn't understand what life was all about. And they lived in a different generation, so they're not even relevant for today. And we thought that when we were growing up, and we all went through that. And I guarantee you, your children are going to grow up the very same way. And so you're concerned about how they grow up. And sometimes when you tell them to, not hang around with this person, or, you should be going with this person or whatever, they're going to think that you're interfering in their life and all these different things. And I'm sure Lemuel thought the same thing as he was growing up. But now as he got older, he started to refer back to the things that he grew up with, and he started being thankful for what his mother told him. Don't hang around with the wrong people. Don't hang around with the wrong people. And then she also told him, don't drink alcoholic beverages. Now, I'm just paraphrasing it now, but this is what she was saying to him. Don't drink strong wine, strong drink. She said, because it would cloud your judgment. Now, I've never ever drank it, so I don't know from experience, but I've seen enough of it. I know from that part of the experience. And some of you have been there, and you have, used alcoholic beverages and everything else, and you know how it can cloud your mind, and stop you from thinking straight and cause you to do stupid things and sometimes mess up your life in a means that you'll never, ever, ever get over it. And so Lemuel's mother told him all these things. Don't get involved in that. Don't get involved in that. And I'm sure she probably thought, he probably thought, Mom is so old-fashioned. Anybody ever feel that with your parents when you're growing up? I remember when I was growing up, now this is the honest truth. When I was growing up, I used to always say to Mom, And she used to laugh at me. Now I can understand why, but back in those days I couldn't understand. I said, Mom, what was it like back in the old days? You ever say that to your parents growing up? You know, or sometimes your children probably say it to you now. What was it? And I remember Mom used to say, you know, it was something happened, you know, when she was a teenager or whatever the case might be. It was a nice sunny day. And I remember when I was just a little tiny fellow, I said, was it all black and white back then? You know, because we have this picture that, you know, back in those days, no such thing as color. You know, everything was drab back there, you know. Especially when you hear some of the hard stories that they went through and things like that, you felt that it was, you know, it wasn't the same world we're living in or something, the same life, you know. But we need to understand that our parents have gone through the very same things that we've gone through and will go through. So she was telling him, don't get involved in the wrong kind of things. Now, back in that day was strong drink, and strong drink is still a problem even these many thousand years later. Still got the same problem. But then there's other things that's involved as well. I mean, we tell our children, or, you know, try to impress upon our children, don't be hanging around with people that's going to be involved with drugs and dope and booze and all these different things. Stay away from that kind of stuff because it's only going to ruin your life. You know, as I said, sometimes children understand it. Some wise ones understand it. Some that are not so wise get out and meddle in it and mess up their lives. Sometimes they think there's nothing to it, but you know as well as I do. And the Bible talks about strong drink stings like an adder, you know, like a snake bite sometimes. It grabs you when you're not expecting it. And then she told him, she said, because he was a king, to be sure to stand up for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. And she was saying to him, as a king, he was the only thing that stood between good and evil for his people. And his choices affected so many people. Even though he was a king, but even in our own lives, the choices that we make affect so many people. As parents sometimes, the choices that we make as parents, you know, it spills down into our children, where we're going to live, where we're going to go to church, what we're going to do, where we're going to, you know, all these things affect every aspect of our lives. So we need to understand that. Lemuel's mother was telling him, now as you grow up, you're going to have to make decisions that other people are going to be affected by. So make sure you make good decisions. Now, so in those first few verses, we got all this going on. Matthew Henry's commentary in the Bible says it this way. And he's talking about mothers because Lemuel is talking about his mother here. Most everybody agrees that the woman he's talking about when he goes on talking about who can find a virtuous woman, he was referring to his mother, the way that she brought him up. But Matthew Henry says in his commentary, he says, it is the duty of mothers as well as fathers to teach their children what is good that they may do it, but also to teach them what is evil that they may avoid it. Teach them what's good so that they can go for it, but teach them what's evil so they can stay away from it. He went on to say, he said, those of us that have grown up to maturity should often recall or call to mind and make mention of the good instructions that we received when we were children. We should remember these things and reiterate them and call to mind. He said, for their own admonition, in other words, for our own reminding ourselves, for the edification of others so that others can hear it as well, and to honor those who were our guides through our youth. So, you know, we should remember the things that our parents taught us. Now, you might be saying here this morning, well, my mother or my dad, whatever, but this is mother, so we're picking on mothers today, so let's stick to the mothers. My mother never taught me anything much good, you know. And all of us, we've all come from different backgrounds. I understand that. I tell you, my mother raised us. We never had a father as we got older. I mean, my father died when I was 7 years old, so our mother raised us. So most everything that I remember, you know, in doing anything was my mother, you know, telling me not to do this, you know, don't be with this person, hang around with that one, don't go. I remember we had I got a cousin, his name is Fraser, and he used to always say to me, he said, Steve, he said, Mom is always after me, that's his mother now, he said, Mom is always after me, he said, why can't you be a good boy like Stephen? And we lived next door to each other. And I said, that's what Mom was always saying to me, well, how come you can't be a good boy like Fraser, you know? So your parents are always, you know, trying to get you to hang around with people that's going to be good. I will say Fraser grew up to be a fine man, you know, with a family home back in Newfoundland and things like this. But what I'm saying, like, there are certain things that as parents we need to teach our children. And if your mother has taught you things over life and sometimes, you know, it seems like it didn't make sense at the time, as you get older, you understand why they made those decisions, why they told you these things. Because they love you. Beside God, honestly, beside God, I don't think there's anybody who would love anyone any more than their parents could love them. You understand that? Even when they're stubborn, they do things backwards, they cause you frustration and hurt and loneliness and sadness and everything else. You know, there's no way that you can get away from the love of your parents. You know, if the parents got any common sense at all, you know, there's a love there for the children. The Summarized Bible says it this way, talking about the virtuous woman. They said, a virtuous woman who has command of her own spirit, who is pious and industrious, who is firm for the principles of God's word, is a rare prize. Such a one is of unspeakable worth, and he who has such a wife should show her great kindness and respect, and to God, thankfulness of heart. Now you get that? If you got a wife that loves the Lord and stands for the things that are right and does, you know, her best to raise the children right and things like that, is a rare prize. Hold on to her, thank God for her, respect her, and honor her. This is for the husbands, but even for the children, same thing. If your parents are like that, thank God for them. Napoleon said, and you're all familiar with who Napoleon is, Napoleon Bonaparte. He said, the fate of a child is always the work of his mother. The fate of the child, in other words, how the child grows up, is the work of the mother. You can see it in the what the mother has done. King Lemuel goes on to explain and describe this virtuous woman, what she looks like. And as I said, most everyone agrees that he's talking about his mother. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, he said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Even though, as husbands, they make us mad sometimes, and we get frustrated sometimes, you know, we still got to go back to what God's words is. Their price is far above rubies. So if you got issues with your wife this morning, smarten up. How's that? Verse 26, he says it this way, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In verse 28, he says, her children shall arise up. Now, you might say, well, my children never do this for me. Wait till they get older. The Bible says, when they get older, they'll not depart from it. You know? Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. In verse 29, many daughters or many women have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, in other words, reverences God, she shall be praised. Over in the New Testament, we have some different women mentioned, but there's one fellow that Paul talked to, young Timothy, who got saved. Timothy was from Lystra. Remember, Paul went into Lystra one time preaching, and a man was healed there. Made a big impact, no doubt, on Timothy's life. Timothy was just a young man in the, you know, amongst the Christians at that time. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and this is what he said to him. He said, I call to remembrance, he said, the unfeigned, or the genuine, we would say, the genuine faith that is in you. Now, you got to understand, this is in Timothy, he said. But he said, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois. And he said, and in your mother, Eunice. And he said, I'm persuaded that is in you also. So you see how it's coming down through the family. The decisions that we make as parents or as grandparents affects our children and our grandchildren. I mean, we've been talking about a little while ago, but Abraham, when he paid tithe, the Bible says even Isaac or even Levi, which is in his loins, God credited to him as well. So the things that we do as parents trickles down through our families and sometimes for generations to come. For generations to come. And you can look back over sometimes, and I've heard pastors say this a good many times. Sometimes, especially pastors go into a church, they probably got, you know, a couple thousand people in there. They said, they can go through the records. They said, if the church has been there for a number of years, they can go through the records. And they find that this person here is here today. He's serving the Lord. He's involved in the ministry of the church. And you look back over the records. Well, his father was involved in the ministry of the church. His grandfather was involved in the ministry of the church. And it goes on back through generation and generation and generation. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said, I can see this faith in you. He said, first of all, he said, it was in your grandmother, Lois. And he said, I can see it. He said, in your mother, Eunice, as well. And he said, I'm persuaded it is in you as well. So, you know, what we do as parents and as grandparents and as mothers and dads, you know, it affects our children and our generations to come. Sometimes we look at our own parents, and we're living in a society, and you know this is to be true, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here this morning because I know you all want to get out and take your moms and your wives to lunch. But we're living in a society where women are looked down on in many aspects. Thank God, not so much here in the Western world. But you look at what's going on over in Nigeria even now. Women have no rights whatsoever. You know, and that's not the way that God designed things to happen. That's not the way that God designed things to be. And I was reading something about Heinz, you know, the Heinz ketchup, Heinz company. And I forget the guy's name now. Anybody know his first name? Anyway, whatever his name was, he was just a young man. He said a young boy, at 6 years old, he would go out and help his mother around the yard planting flowers and things like this. And he said by the time he was 12, he had an acre of land that he had planted his own vegetables on. 12 years old. You know. And they said as he grew, he started to, as he got up to teenage years, he started to sell products from his fields and different things. And he started making things and selling it. And he eventually ended up making, and he called his first company 57 Varieties. That's why you see Heinz 57. You know, he called his first company 57 Varieties. And they say today there's over 1,300 different things that Heinz make. And he was a Christian young boy. He used to tithe his offering to his church and different things. They were saying that the things that he learned is the things that his mother implanted in him. But we're living in a society today where women are looked down on. Women are, you know, just, and society has made this, and the media has made it, the entertainment world has made it. Women are just sex objects, and you mistreat them, you just use them, get what you need, and then leave them, you know. And that's not God's plan for the woman. And as Christians, as Christian men, and Christian, you know, people growing up, and if you're married or growing up, not married yet, and eventually well grow up and get married, you know, God's design is that we would honor the women that he's given to us and respect them. The Bible says that her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will praise her. We need to understand the importance of encouraging one another and encouraging especially our spouses, you know, when they're going through struggles and everything, to be there for them. You might not have all the right answers to everything, and God never ever intended for us to be there with the perfect answer every time or the right cliche to say all the time. You know, but we need to be there for them. I remember me and Pat say this lots of times. We just go for a drive sometimes, and matter of fact, she said it just a while ago. She said, you know, there's one thing I've always fell back on over the years. She said, no matter what we're going through, no matter what struggles you go through, you always know you got somebody to love you at home. And that's so important. And even for children sometimes, when they mess up their lives and things, they need to know that somebody back home still loves them. And even though they've messed up and they've twisted their lives around and it'll probably take years to straighten out, but you still have your mom and dad there that would love you. And that's something we need to keep in mind. Next month, we are leading up to Father's Day. Every year here, we have a family week, we call it. And again, we'll do things throughout that time. We usually go bowling or something, all the families together, and, you know, people that can make it. And we have a video night here at the church and different things. But it's so important that families will spend time together. And that's the only reason we do this, is just to emphasize the fact, because it's so easy to just let everything slip through your fingers and life be gone. But it's time for us to realize where our priorities ought to be. And thank God for what he's done. But, you know, sometimes you look at your own mom, and when you look at Hollywood, and you see, you know, people that are, you know, made into models, there's a reason they're called models, you know, and they beautify them and make them look so pretty and everything else, and sometimes, you know, the average woman looks at that and says, man, I can't compete with that. You don't have to. You know, your mom might not be the most attractive person. She might not be as attractive as the Hollywood star. But she's still your mom. She might not be the sexiest woman around. But she's still your mom or your wife. You know? Like one fellow said, or the pastor years ago, he said, in this particular church, he said, there's one real pretty woman. And all the men were gazing at her every time she came into the church. Everybody's looking at her. She's so pretty and done up so, you know, good looking and everything else. And he got up in the pulpit one time and he saw all the men looking at her. He said, you men, he said, look up here for a minute. He said, everybody's looking at, and he called this man by name. He said, everybody's looking at so-and-so's wife. And he said, you can't have her. He said, but I tell you what to do. He said, spend some money on your own. He said, and dress her up, make her look like a two. There's a lot of wisdom in that. A lot of wisdom in that. Some people do anything for themselves, won't do anything for their wives. Won't give them anything, won't let them be anything. Listen, if you want her to be, you know, attractive to you and everything else, give her the master's card. But you know what I'm saying. Look after your woman. She might not be the prettiest, but Paul told us here, honor your father and your mother. And again, we're just talking about the mothers today, so honor your mother. Your mother might be dead and gone. Actually, today is the day we buried my mom, May 11th, 31 years ago today. But your mom may be dead and gone, but you still got to honor her memory. This is what Lemuel was doing. He was looking back and thanking God for the things that his mother taught him. And she might not have been a perfect mother, and maybe you will never be a perfect father or a perfect mother yourself. But we need to honor those that brought us up. A young lady in her 20s, I was reading an article a little while ago, and I'll finish up with just a couple little stories here now, and we'll finish off. But there's a young lady in her 20s, and she came from a very dysfunctional family. She didn't know who her father was or where he was at, didn't know anything about him. They said her mother was a very mean woman, always hitting her, shouting at her. She couldn't seem to do anything right. Her mother was always on her back about something, and she grew up just longing to get away from home. And as time went on, this young lady became very resentful against her mother and just hoped somewhere along the line she could find a way to get back at her for all the pain that she put her through. But as time went on, this young lady became a Christian. And then she started to think, well, you know, I got to change my attitude towards my mom. And she said she started to say nice things to her mom. By this time, now the young girl was married in her early 20s. Had some children. And she said, I got to, you know, start saying some nice things to my mom. So she started complimenting her mom and telling her she loved her, which is something she never did all of her life. And she would tell her mother, you know, she was pretty. She was, you know, buy things for her mother, gifts for her mother and different things. And she made up her mind she was going to start honoring her mother. And she said, this went on for an entire year, she said, and it never made a bit of difference whatsoever. She said, her mother was just as ugly, just as mean, just as saucy, just as, you know, and she said, it was just this clash all the time, every time they tried to get together. And she said, it was 2 days before Christmas, and she decided she was going to take a Christmas gift to her mom, so she took over a nice, beautiful bottle of perfume, expensive perfume, she said. She went out and bought it, just trying to explain to her mother, or express to her mother, I should say, how she loved her. And she brought this bottle of perfume to her mother. And they said they couldn't be together just for a couple minutes when they were just fighting, you know, her and her mother. And her mother became angry about something, and she took the bottle of perfume and threw it across the floor and smashed it. And it just glass and perfume going everywhere. And the young woman was there, like, and she thought, man, I can't take this any longer. And she was about to say something, and she said, but she saw her mother just standing there looking at the floor. And she said, all of a sudden, her mother started to weep. And she turned to her daughter. And she asked her daughter to forgive her for all that she'd done over the years, all the ugliness and everything else, because she said, as she looked at that perfume on the floor, as she took that and tossed it, sometimes you think nothing is happening behind the scenes, But for a full year, she was planting seed in her mother's life and meddling down that stubborn, hard heart. And she said, as her mother looked at the floor, the thought came to her mind, her mother's mind. This is exactly what I've done to my daughter's life. I've ruined it. I've abused her. I've destroyed her. And the story went on to say, and this is what they said, to make a long story short, they said things changed that day. And they said, now every Sunday morning, her mother's with her, sitting in church. The young woman is there, young woman's husband, and her little children. They said, sitting in church every Sunday since then. See, sometimes your mom may have not been the best mom in the world. And maybe it's because the way she was brought up. This is something we need to understand. Maybe it's because of the way she was brought up. Or maybe your dad, or whatever the case, but today we're picking on mom, so maybe it's the way that she was brought up. Maybe that's the only way she knew how to respond to certain situations. And you have to be careful that you don't carry that same thing into your family. But you also, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to step in and say, listen, this is enough. We're going to change this. And maybe it's time to start honoring and loving your mom and showing some concern there and allow God to do his work in the family. Word of God tells us to honor our father and our mother. I was reading a story a couple of years ago, actually, and I saw it again in a little devotional. They said, back in the Second World War, a man named Solomon Rosenberg, just a young man, had a young wife and two little boys in their family, Joshua and David. Jewish people. But during the Second World War, he said the Nazis came and took him to a concentration camp. And they said, now, the two little boys, Joshua was fine and healthy, but he said, little David, they never said what the sickness was, but he is weak and he is frail. So the Nazis came, they took Solomon and his wife and the two little boys and took Solomon's parents, his mom and dad, the grandparents of the little boys. And they said they took them to the concentration camps. And they said the rules are very simple. You work as long as you can. And once you're too weak to work, you're exterminated. Just treat it like animals. And they said they went to this camp and they would have to go out and work so many hours a day, and then at night they would come back to the barracks. And they said everybody would be looking through the crowds, looking for their own families and everything. And they said, and you see families hugging everywhere. And he said, Solomon and his wife, they would look for their boys and grandparents, and they would all hug and knew that they were safe through another day. And they said every day they were praying that God would just get them through another day, get them through another day. They said, finally the time came, they said, when the mother, the grandmother, got too weak to work. And they said the guards came and just grabbed her and pulled her over and took her. They never ever saw her after. She's taken, put in a gas chamber and exterminated. And they said a short while after that, they said the father was brokenhearted, the grandfather, he was brokenhearted, and they said he lost all hope, and sure enough, they came after him and took him and exterminated him. So they're getting weaker. They said, but every evening, he said, they would gather. He said, him and his little boys and their mother, they would gather together and they would hug each other and they knew that they were safe through another day. And time went on for a while, he said, and all of a sudden, he said, Solomon came back from work one day, came back to the barracks, and he started looking for his family. Couldn't see their faces, couldn't see any familiar faces anywhere. And he finally found his son just leaning up against the wall, sat on the floor, leaning up against the wall, crying. And he said, Joshua, the oldest son. He said, Josh, he said, tell me what happened. He said, don't tell me it's true. And he said, yes, Papa. He said, it's true. He said, David, that's the little frail boy. They said, David couldn't work today. He was too tired. He was too weak to work. So they grabbed him to take him off to the extermination camp or chamber. And he started crying out. He said, Mama, he said, I'm scared. And he said, she stood up, put a smile on her face, went over and took her by the hand. She said, I'll go with you so you won't be afraid. And she went and gave her life as well, just to be with her child. And that's the kind of love, sometimes people don't understand it, but that's the kind of love that mothers have. You know, and I can guarantee you, even fathers here would do the same thing probably. I know I would. But you know, it's the very same kind of love that God shows when Jesus came and gave his life for us because of what he saw in the future for us as well, what we were headed for. And as we close off today and think about Mother's Day and what mothers have done for us, it's important for us to never... There's times, obviously, we'll all get frustrated. I mean, we'll always, as long as we're on this planet, probably get frustrated and blurt out something we shouldn't blurt out and think something we shouldn't think. But when the dust all settles, we get back to our senses again. We still have to honor and respect our moms and our dads for the love that they've shown us, the things that they trained us and taught us. And I can guarantee you, every last one of us here, we go back over our life and say, I wish I listened to Dad and Mom right there. There are certain things that have in our lives. Or I wish I never got involved with that. I wish this never happened. Not because they're, you know, so super knowledgeable, but just that they've learned a few things over the years as you will learn and you are trying to train your children. But if you're here and say your mom and dad is dead and gone, and maybe you've held some resentment, start to see things from their perspective, what their background was. Maybe they grew up in a home that was no love for them, and they tried their best to show their love in whatever way they could. I can remember going to church as a young fellow. We got saved in the Salvation Army, and every year they would have a Mother's Day program, almost like, you know, a Christmas program. And I hated them. I did. I hated them, and all the young fellows did. Because at the end of it, now let me say this. I've told you this one time before. We were a close family regards to, you know, Mom loving us and things like this. But we weren't a lovey-dovey family, you know, hugging each other and kissing each other and that kind of stuff. Now, everybody says our family is now, so, you know, maybe I just didn't want to go back to that again. I don't know what it was. But, like, I never ever was the type of person that went up and would kiss Mom, you know, tell her I loved her, even though she knew I loved her and I knew she loved me, and she would never ever do that, you know, to us. I mean, when we were little children, she would love us and things like this, but as we got older, there was no hugging and things like this. I can remember one time I went into a hospital. My mother went in with a heart attack. And a buddy of mine went into the hospital with us. They were visiting at the house that night, so we all took off, chased the ambulance in the highway, and got to the hospital. And we had to wait out in the waiting room and different things, and we went into the hospital room. And I mean, I think back over it now, I'm embarrassed to say it. But Mom was in the hospital in the bed there. And my buddy went in, and he grew up with me. I mean, we were friends. He was almost like a family member anyway, and he went in and went over and gave Mom a kiss, you know, a kiss in the bed there. And I thought, oh man, I wish you'd never did that. Now I gotta do it, you know. And I did. I went over and kissed Mom, but I felt very stupid doing it. I mean, I'm ashamed to say it now, but that was the way we were. And I remember going to church as children, and the same thing every year at the end of the program, they'd have a little flower that you'd take, and they want all the children to come up, and you'd take this back to your mother. And you had to go back and say, I love you, and give them a kiss. And man, I tell you, that was the hardest thing in the world for us to do, even though we loved her, and she loved us. I mean, and she felt kind of, I think, kind of embarrassed. I mean, I remember one time I did it, I went and said, Mom, I love you, and I gave her the flower. And I was just wanting to get out of it, you know, as a young fellow. I was only about 10 or 11 years old. Just wanted to run, go on, and Mom started to cry. Oh, that made it worse again, you know. But Mom used to always... And I got this off the internet last night. Mom used to always sing a song. And we're not going to sing it this morning, so don't get nervous. But Mom used to always sing a song. It was not a Christian song. It was a secular song, but it came from Ireland way, way, way back. It's called A Mother's Love is a Blessing. Anybody ever hear that song? Mom used to sing this, and I say, oh, man, I wish you wouldn't sing that. But this is what it says, and it's based on a true story. Thomas Keenan was the guy that wrote it. And they said it was back in the 1800s when a lot of Irish people were coming over to North America because of the famine that was over there and different things that was going on, the potato famine or something they called it. They're coming over to North America to look for a new life. And they said that many young men left to go across the Atlantic. And a lot of them, they said, knew that they would never see their parents again because their parents were older or whatever the case might be. Never see them again. The minute that they left the wharf, that was the end of it. Now, there's a couple words here I just want to explain before we read it. One is Q-U-A-Y. Now, we call it key in Newfoundland, and in England it's called key, but in Ireland it's called K. Okay, it's a, like a wharf where you load things on, or you put, bring your boat up and different things. That's one word. And the other one is Colleen. Now, we use it as a name today, Colleen. But they said in Ireland, it meant a young woman, you know, like a virgin woman or whatever the case might be. Okay, so you hear these two words in there, but you get to understand what's going on. They said an Irish boy was leaving his native home, crossing the broad Atlantic. Once more he wished to roam. And as he was leaving his mother, who was standing there at the quay, she threw her arms around his waist, and this to him did say. And this is the part Mom would always sing all the time, and I think, oh, no, I'm not singing that. A mother's love is a blessing. No matter where you roam. Try that again. A mother's love is a blessing. No matter where you roam, keep her while she's living, because you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, though feeble, old, and gray, for you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. Then the second verse, only two verses. The second verse is, and as the years go onward, I'll settle down in life and choose a nice young Colleen and take her for my wife. And as the babies grow older and climb around my knee, I'll teach them the very same lesson that my mother taught to me. A mother's love is a blessing, no matter where you roam. Keep her while she's living, because you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, though feeble, old, and gray, for you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. If your mother is still living, that means nothing to you. You know, you feel the same way I used to feel when I used to have to do those things. But if your mother is dead, or if you're older and your mother maybe still living, but you're older and you understand these things now, it means a whole lot more to you than when you are younger. The blessing that we have might not be perfect mothers. Then again, we're not perfect children. And you're never going to find a perfect family. But thank God that your mom is your mom. You understand what I'm saying? Don't ever look down on your mom. Don't ever dishonor her. Respect her, honor her, and always show her your love. There's times now I wish I could go back and, you know, tell Mom how much I loved her. Never had the words, and I thought it was too stupid. But now, I probably told you this before, when Mom died, actually again we'd be on this day when she'd buried her in the afternoon. I was preaching. We were in a little community, you had to fly. The only way to get there is by boat or helicopter. We always went by boat. I didn't like boat much, but I disliked the helicopters even more. So we went there by boat, and we were out, and for Mother's Day, I gave Mom something for Mother's Day, and which is on Sunday, but we gave it to her on Friday because I was going back to preach on Sunday back in her home church. Pat was pregnant with Stephanie, and I remember now as I went to was Mom's sister's house that she was out visiting because she was living in another community, but she was visiting her sister in her hometown. And when we were getting ready to leave, she's old on, she said, and she went and took out $20 out of her purse, and she said, tell Patsy, that's what she called Patsy, she said, tell Patsy to buy something for the baby. And buy a christening dress, I think it was, she said, for the baby. She brought christening dresses for the other two girls. And she said, tell Patsy she should buy a christening dress for the baby. Gave her $20. Back in those days, I guess you could do it for $20. Gave me $20, so I took $20, gave it to Pat, and that's the, we bought the christening dress for Steph. Steph was born in, Mom died, like I said, in May. Stephanie was born in August, 3 months later. And so anyhow, I said goodbye to Mom. Still, that's stupid. You know, you couldn't say you loved her or anything like this. Just happy Mother's Day. Have a good Mother's Day. And, you know, you keep it so cool as you could and just get out of it, you know. And I went back to our hometown for the preach, church we were pastoring in. And as I said, we had to get there by boat. So we got there Saturday night. I got up Sunday for the service. Did the service. And Monday afternoon, I should say. Telephone rings. This is the pastor from our hometown. Steve said, I got a bit bad news. Said, your mother just passed away. And so we had to get out of the town and get back to our hometown again for the funeral. She died on a Monday, and the funeral, the only time you could get it in was on a Wednesday. So I had to call a buddy because I couldn't even get back there. I had to call a buddy of mine, and he had to arrange all the things, pick out the casket and everything else. I had a brother that was living in Toronto at the time. He had to fly back home. So anyhow, we got there about 2 hours before the service, before the funeral service. And I went up and looked at Mom, you know, and it was just one of them things, like all these thoughts going through my mind, if only. Service went on, we had the service, and that night we had a prayer meeting back at the church. It was on a Wednesday, and it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting. So I can remember walking up the road, Pat's mother, we were staying with Pat's mother for the couple of days that we were there for the funeral, and they lived a couple miles down the road, so I just took my Bible and I just walked up. It was a nice sunny day, and I walk up to the church a couple miles up the road. And as I was going up, just thinking about, you know, never had a chance to tell Mom I loved her, even though I knew, you know, she knew that I loved her, and I, you know, the love was there, but just never ever expressed it, you know. And I remember walking up the road, and I was saying, Lord, I said, I feel so empty. I said, I never even told Mom that I loved her. And I was apologizing to God, and, you know, just like you normally would. And I guarantee you, if somebody stood up in front of me and said something, it wouldn't have been more powerful. I said, God, I never even told her I love her. And just like that, God said, I can tell her for you. I can tell her for you. And man, I just broke down and started to weep. Walk up the road, people saw me, they probably think I was gone nuts. She'd walk up the road crying to break my heart. And but there was a release that came. I knew that somehow God let her know that I did love her. And I was expressing it the best I knew how. And as the song was saying there, Mom used to sing it. Bogged me to hear her sing it. Because it's too lovey-dovey, too, you know. Now I can look back at it. You will never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. So if you've got a mother with you today, honor your mother. Love her. And as she gets older, feeble, old, and gray, she'll do something even crazier than she did when she was younger. You know, she won't be able to get around like she could when she was younger. She might look clumsier to you. You know, and sometimes she may do something you might feel embarrassed. But listen, that's your mom. Honor, respect, and love her. That's your mom.